to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome to Excise Jacks. I'm Tom Howley. Mr. Mel Weber on the board. S&P futures up $5. Dow futures up 36. The NASDAQ futures up 10 as the rally continues, even though we were down on, we're mixed. The Dow was down on Tuesday. A little mixed, but looks like we're up across the board, or at least so far. We are all up 21 cents. The bonds, my guys over in Japan, back minus 0.02%, so I just cannot. They broke through again on Friday, made a positive 0.003, which isn't very positive. But they're right hovering right about the zero line. And our stuff's back up to 1.91. So sort of interesting as the 10-year continues to sneak up. But Kenny was on Tuesday. And by the way, your Christmas was fine. Did you go to Illinois or did you go to Iowa first in your circuit?
We did the circle, so we went south down to Champaign and Monticello and in that area in downstate Illinois, and then we went across the river over to eastern Iowa and did Cedar Rapids and Burlington, and then came back and did the western suburbs yesterday, northwest suburbs, and then we're back in the city last night.
So you guys are getting married in March, where the grandmother's always already wondering if there was going to be a baby next December. That's cutting it a little close.
Cutting it very close.
It'd be a very, very new baby.
It would be a very new baby.
Like a day old.
Just the timing alone.
Yes. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I, too, am cutting it close.
Why is that?
I don't know, but I walked in on your discussion and I don't even know what you were talking about, but if you're cutting it close, actually, I probably will cut it close later today. I'm going to hop on a plane to Phoenix.
Oh, I thought you were already there.
No.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Going today, coming back after the weekend.
Well, I hope you're...
Nice.
So when I call you tomorrow, I don't know what ungodly hour it will be, but...
It's only 1 hour difference, though. They don't do daylight savings time.
Yeah, unless you're used to the Eastern time zone, then...
Well, I'm just saying. It's not as bad as you would think, you know. Just saying. I hope our girl Audrey was just there last week and said every day she and her girlfriend were into hiking, right? So they dropped into this routine. You know, the females can sniff this stuff out pretty quick. They immediately have pals out there, of course, her friend Linda. And so they ate at this guy's restaurant one night and they said it was spectacular. But by and large, the guy says, don't go to dinner at all. Just go to the happy hours, especially this time of the year. So everything's happy hours are like 4 to 7, which, you know, is pretty close to whatever. So every day they did some shopping, they did some hiking, they went out to the Superstition Mountains, they hiked the 6.5 mile trail there, and they were into it, and then they would fall into the happy hour. But anyway, the weather was like 70 and 45 like every day, so it was absolutely perfect for any hiking or anything like that. But it was supposed to rain all the next week, but now you're 2 weeks later, so you might be okay. I think last week it was not as good.
Yeah, I believe it's supposed to be nice, and in fact, I should pull that up for two reasons. I need to know what the weather on the return trip here might look like, but
it might be warmer
last
here.
Last time I checked, it was going to be, you know, upper 60s-ish.
Yep.
Something like that, so that works for me.
Are there any bowl games out there while you're there?
Yeah, there happens to be a playoff game.
Are you going to try and go?
On Saturday.
So, of course... Under intense
the Clemson Ohio State game.
So under intense questioning, which once in a while you have to do to the females of the species, Aud and her friend end up with two courtside seats and a parking pass to the Suns game. Evidently, it was this really good game last week or 2 weeks ago, where there was a 1 point finish. They lost by a point. She goes, "God, was it exciting? It was absolutely terrific. I really enjoyed myself. We had a great time." And I said, "Now, if those tickets would have been like in the balcony." Would you have gone? Why would I have gone? Who wants to sit up there?
Hey, smart woman.
So she, like, I love
we knew that.
She, we were right behind the player's bench or something. You're the coach yelling at him, it was great. I'm like, okay. Would you have sat upstairs? Why would we do that? All right. It's got to be the event, Kevin. So, when you
talk about attendance, I think, especially when it comes to college games, I think it has really become that people go out for an event more than they go out for the game itself. So if it's not a big game, people don't show up. And if you look at it, you know, to just take the college basketball example. At this time of year, they're just wrapping up the non-conference parts of the schedule with the, you know, as the conferences have expanded. We have probably, you know, they've gone, you know, a lot of them have a couple of conference games under their belt because they're up, you know, like the ACC's up to 20 games. But otherwise, even the conference games, people don't show up for those. People show up when a game's going to be on national TV Monday night. People show up, you know, when Duke's in town or when North Carolina's in town, you know, in part because it's a big game, but nobody's interested in the whole story of how a season unfolds. They're just sort of interested in being on the scene when there's a big event.
I don't know, Maddie, when we were there, I went to every single basketball game and every single hockey game. I would never even be deterred from going.
I still go to all of them, except for the one that will happen when I'm in Phoenix.
Well, Paul, how was I going to play bridge with Ian Williams the next night, the star hockey player, one of the star hockey players, if I didn't go to the game?
Yeah,
you know, I knew those guys.
You got to be on it.
And so guess what I did yesterday?
What did you do yesterday?
I did my cooking for kind of strays at Audrey's place because we go to Dan's on my brother Dan's, president of PTI, cooks up on Christmas Eve, and Dan's a phenomenal cook, so he had, last thing I needed was 2 days in a row of eating like that, but anyway, nice time at Dan's, and he has all kinds of guys from the Sunday softball thing, and he has, old neighbors that are too old to cook, but he has, 12 people, 14 people, and I got the whole scoop on the softball and all the other stuff, and how they all did, and evidently they won, the guys I played with on Sunday, the over 70 crowd evidently kicked ass out in Phoenix and won the whole tournament.
Oh, wow.
So get a load of this. They lose their first three games, and Bob's the coach, and they're seriously talking mutiny. Bob's telling me, geez, you wouldn't believe the crap on
me. Fire the coach. Fire the coach.
Well, so they end up, the first three are just the placement games for the 16-team tournament. Right? So they basically are, they're seeded 16th. They knock off the number one team, I guess, fairly easily, and then just flew through and won all the rest of the games. Because I was reinstated as coach, all of a sudden.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see, they were just laying low so that they could get the favorable seating. Then you only have to knock off the number one team. Once you do, you get all the number one, the matchups that would have gone to the number one.
Well, they have
perfect strategy. Perfect strategy.
Well, because some people now have guys with, artificial parts, right, over 70, you get to add another player. So you have 11 in the field. So you get four outfielders and you get a short center. This is 12-inch.
That sounds kind of crazy.
Well, at some point you need another player. Nobody can run anymore.
Yeah, but nobody can hit either.
They can still hit. These guys are good hitters. They can still hit on Sunday morning. They can place the ball like there's no tomorrow. Some of them can still hit pretty good. The hitting doesn't go as much as the fielding. You're not running down a fly ball. Let's put it that way, Kevin, at age 70.
Yeah, well, I can sort of relate. So, and I never could run down a fly ball. So
no, me neither.
Who am I kidding?
So our girl AV, Angelica, I said, all right, why don't you come on out to Audrey's? You know, because her family's still in Ukraine. And she goes, okay. So Dan picks her up downtown because we were originally going to put her on the Rock Island to make it south. And Dan goes, forget it. I'll just come downtown and get her. My bro's the world's nicest guy. So she shows up, and I'm like, who the hell is the new girl? I mean, she's an attractive girl. But all I get is the hooded sweatshirt and the yoga pants. You know.
What do you expect at that hour of the morning?
I'm saying I understand, but the pull back hair, no makeup, nothing. All of a sudden, I'm like, who are you? dressed absolutely to the nines, makeup. I'm sitting there. I knew she was an attractive girl. I'm like, good lord. I'm like, talk about special. I had no idea she was that good looking. I mean, and she's so pleasant. She met, which made one more female to gang up on me, right? But no, they talk about getting along famously and telling her about her family over there and all the stuff and her mom and her aunts and uncles and everybody, because Audrey's Eastern European too, half. So to say that everybody was like they knew everybody for, anyway, it was a good time. She never had dressing before. Absolutely loved the dressing. So, you know, it's nice to see people, you know, get involved in different stuff. And like, see, she's such a sweet lady, it's unreal. And when you think about, you know, coming over here at age 20 on her own and being here for 5 years and has her own place and so forth, I mean, your hat's really off to that kind of stuff. It really is.
You know, I agree, and I have a young woman who's graduating, is a December graduate from us, and I've had her in, I think, three different classes, also Ukrainian, and just an absolutely brilliant student, and totally likable and all that. So, you know, I sent her, she's going back home, and I sent her with a nice letter of reference and all that. It really is, it is cool when you get to have those conversations, too, you know, about what that journey is like coming to a totally strange place. And finding your way through it.
Well, you know, plus it's, you get a different point of view of things. I mean, yesterday, of course, I would give it an on to grief like I do everybody, but I go, so how do you like hanging here for Christmas with the old people? Tom, I would have been home by myself. I love your girlfriend, her friends. I'm having a great time. Okay. So, anyway.
So you were sort of asking a rhetorical humor question.
Yeah.
Got the serious answer.
Got the serious answer, and, so I was listening to News Radio 78, and you think that you have things that are a little bit, everything's tough in every generation. There's always a problem. I mean, now we have other issues here. People are having questioning, you know, why they're here, and a lot of it, I think, Kevin, has to do with the normal parts, even in our lifetime when we were very young, just getting through the day was almost a full-time job. I mean, clearly in the Depression it was. And they were talking about the Christmas of 1949. They do this on News Radio. I'll give them kudos. Every year they pick two or three Christmases in the past and talk about what the weather was like, what life was like during that time. They were talking about the Christmas of 1949. And they were going into the fact that it was going to be zero Christmas Eve, and that some huge percentage of the houses in the city were heated by coal. And how there was a slowdown in coal in West Virginia, so there was a shortage of coal, and the prices were going to the roof, and people couldn't get coal, and they didn't know if they were going to freeze basically their asses to death that night. And you think about, you know, and our stuff, are how many more people are going to go to the mall? You know, not that there aren't problems now, there surely are. You know, we've got opioid, we had a million problems. But, I mean, just the idea of are we going to freeze to death tonight is not one of them, right? The problem's kind of more
generally not.
Generally not, and
but not 100% not. And that's
no, not 100% not. Did you ever live or used to hang in a coal fired home?
No.
My grandmother's, I was real young, was coal fired, and my aunt never converted. I don't think. You know, maybe she did near the very end, but it was, you had to go down. It'd be cold, and somebody'd say, "All right, well, we got to do something with the fire." So somebody'd run down and make the fire into thing or restoke it. All of a sudden, the heat would pour up, be hotter than hinges of hell. There was no, the idea of setting your thermostat at 72 and having it be 72. It never was. It was either 65 or 90, right? Depending on, I was never, at least even in my youngest days, people always had a hot water heater. But evidently back in the day, if you're going to shower at 5, you had to be up at 4:15 to start the coal fire in the water heater. Which, you know, I never saw. That was before my time. God, what a pain in the ass that would be in the morning.
No kidding. I mean, you got to work before you can.
Before
you get your day going.
Yeah, you got to work before you go to work. And but I remember, you know, the coal being delivered and everybody shoveling it down in the coal hole and that kind of stuff. But I was at a couple of schools that were coal fired, and it was that was a deal. I mean, there were two. After a while, originally. Before there really was electricity, for lack of a better term, the entire system downstairs, I mean, Maddie, the entire, I mean, if you're ever in a school, you know, whatever you want to call it, heating area, there's a place, there's the boiler that gives you the heat. And then if it's hot water, it runs around or does some stuff. Or if it's air, it's being pumped. Well, the pumps were all, they were like on a battleship. All the pumps were done by pressure, by steam pressure. So if you just heat a boiler to create heat, the pressure inside of the water might be 1 or 2 pounds. Well, that's fine. You know, but you're not going to blow it up. That's for sure. But you're also not going to power anything. But if you're going to have steam pressure where all your pumps are these big, you know, they're not hydraulic, they're steam pumps. And the things, and you'll go by a room and all these pumps and these big, huge, what do you call them? The big arms where the pump is a real tiny little thing. And there's this huge arm like in the bottom of a big locomotive, you know, picking a
flywheel. Yeah, I know what you're
flywheel.
Talking about and I don't know
well,
what
that's the flywheel and I don't know what the, I guess it would be the, it's not the axle. Well, whatever, I'll think of it. And the whole room is being pumped by these things. Well, the fireman's job was to keep the fire up. And I think they were 80 pounds of pressure, Kevin. So you could blow. I mean, if you didn't do it right, you could blow something. Like a battleship would be like 100 and some pounds, so it'd be even worse. But if there's a steam thing there and you ran your hand by it, it cut your hand off. You know, so it was not, you know, it was, these things were not, they were, to lack of a better term, they were alive. Because all the power was coming from these things and stuff's working. They were like a body. You know, it's like pumping blood, doing all this stuff, all generated from this, you know, the steam running all over the place. And, so the fireman's job was to get there like at the crack of dawn if it was below zero. And he had to have steam up in the boiler. And the engineer's job was to keep all the other stuff running. Because the fireman never left the room. So in order for all the pumps and stuff to work, but now a lot of the schools as they got older, if one of the pumps conked out, instead of replacing that pump with another steam pump, they just cut that offline and make that pump electric. So as time went by, you might have that whole room where you could still see all the old pumps, but none of them were working anymore.
Because right, and you know what? When I was in college, I lived in a house where if you went down to the basement, you saw all the old coal, coal apparatus too, the same kinds of things that you're describing. But they had obviously converted, you know, a long time before that to
right.
gas.
But I mean, the just
might
the,
have even been a little pile of coal down there, if I remember correctly.
Well, just the metallurgy and the I mean, you wonder if all of a sudden, you know, there was no power in the world, how long it would take somebody to reinvent like a manual calculator or manual cash register. I mean, a lot of the cash, as a matter of fact, the one in Club Lago is still manual. I mean, if you see the cash register. When you punch it, that's when it calculates. There's no power in the thing. I mean, can you imagine the thought process to create a manual cash register or a manual calculator? I mean, I couldn't begin to do it.
I mean, I think when we think of the great inventions of our lifetime, you'd have to consider some of those. You know, right up there with keyless entry.
Well, what about a typewriter? Same thing. I mean, making a typewriter was not easy to do. Or
you go back to typesetting in the printing press. So you know, as you go back and you start to consider that, and you know what we consider primitive at the time was just so cutting edge. You know, and I think it is kind of, you know, to think back on it sometimes is not just fun, but it's a worthwhile exercise in perspective.
Well, last night I got back. I'm figuring, okay, there's got to be something going on in the world. And we're going to talk here about picking portfolios and picking managers here in a second. And Kevin's going to be my interviewee. But there was a thing in this, I get this wacky thing, Quora Digest. Have you ever seen that? These people write in like these totally off the wall questions like, could the Roman legions have beaten the Spartans? You know, and some guy will pile on there and he happens to be an expert or so called expert on the Spartans and the Romans. And he'll go through a whole routine about why, yes, the Romans would have beaten the Spartans because the swords were iron instead of bronze. I mean, you know, whole routine of stuff you would never think of, right? So last night, there was this guy piles in and he says, why were the European people so much more advanced than the, like, American Indians and the Incas and those kinds of things for the time? So much far more industrially advanced and so forth. And the guy launched into this huge dissertation of stuff I would never even have dreamed of, about how in Europe you had most of the stuff the civilizations came from the group between the Tigris and Euphrates River and people along the Nile. So it had to do with areas that you needed agriculture. You needed a group of people to be able to irrigate things, and that's the way those people ate. Okay? And you had all kinds of domestic sort of animals. They had cattle. They had chickens. Chickens was a huge thing when people figured out how to breed chickens in an area where you can basically, for your benefit, both for eggs and for eating. That was a big deal, which I sort of remembered. And then they had horses. And you swing over to the other side of the world, you had buffalo, basically, and deer, both of which you're not about to contain. I mean, you're not going to have a buffalo behind a fence because there goes the fence. I mean, buffaloes are incredibly more stronger than cattle, right? Maybe not their meanest bull, but and deer basically can jump over a fence. So you never lost the hunter thing, and there was really no reason because stuff kind of grew everywhere. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot of reason to have a whole bunch of people living in one spot with irrigation. So it really comes out of necessity, all this stuff, and what you have to work with. And you know that's the truth, but until somebody puts an example like that in front of you, you go, really? I didn't realize that there was no, that there weren't a whole lot of chickens here, and there were no horses, and there was no cattle in North America. And it was buffalo and deer, basically. Mm-hmm. Neither one of which you can domesticate, really. And so things, if you're going to try and keep them all in one spot, you learn how to do fencing, you learn how to do this, that type of thing. Where if you don't, if you're just chasing buffalo, you just chase buffalo. It's not like you're an idiot. You just, there's no reason to try and pin them in. If you do so, you're doing it in your own peril, basically. So, anywho, Manny on the way in was talking about, he was at a group where they had a couple of money managers, and how the guy swung his money from the one that didn't do as good last year as the maybe one that did. And I was mentioning to him that when I was in grad school, they used to do studies of people who were money managers, and how it was very rare for somebody to do 2 years in a row decently. And it's really strange. And once in a while, if you have the time, which more of a long explanation than you'd like it to be, you'll be sitting somewhere and four people will be talking about, I'm giving my money to Joe because he did this from last year and the other. And if you say, okay, is he a big cap guy, mid cap guy? Ah, he's a big cap guy. Well, what does a big cap guy do that's different than, oh no, he just like picks stocks. And I'm like, well, okay. Expand on that a little bit. What do you mean? Well, no, expand on that a little bit. What, if you go to a big cap fund, if you go kind of a, you've got basically the market you're trying to mimic or do better than, how do you do it? What do you mean? You just like pick the good stocks. Okay, I get that part, but I said, and they said, well, will you tell us? You're in the business. I said, well, okay, you start out with, say you're doing big cap. Let's forget the S&P 500 for a second. Let's zero in and say the S&P 100, which used to be the OEX, where I, now if we're going to drop this, somebody's going to drop $90 billion down on the three of us to manage. They don't want any options. They don't want no protection. They want nothing. Just want to be in the market. Big cap chief Kevin and Manny. So what is the first thing we do? I mean, really, we get into a room and maybe we got a big blackboard. Manny's writing. Maybe we can read, and we list all the stocks in the S&P 100, if that's going to be our base point, and their percentage in the total. So it's going to be, Apple's going to be 5%, say, because it's the biggest stock. Microsoft's going to be, 4.7 or some crap. And we're going to be down to God knows what. Something is at the ASN. Basically, it's 0.02%. Don't worry about it. So if we're going to match that, okay, which, well, all you have to do is buy the OEX. They don't need us to do that. But if we're going to match that, we just basically have a list of all the stocks there, and we do the same thing. We buy the basket at the same relation that the basket is. So if we got, $100 billion, 5% of that's going to go in Apple, 4.9% of it's going to go in Microsoft, and so on down the list. Well, we're not going to do better or worse than anybody by doing that, right? So we can't essentially beat the market up. So what's going to happen is maybe we got a bunch of people that do research, maybe we don't. Maybe we just fly from our ass, basically. Or we have opinions. I mean, I don't have a big research department, but based on the stocks I watch, the stocks my clients have, I can certainly tell you in arrears what we should have had last year. I mean, last year we should have had Microsoft and Apple and maybe three others and maybe none of the rest. But what's going to say is say I'm going to go, all right, Apple 5%. And Kevin's going to say, well, geez, they had one hell of a year last year. I don't think we should be 5% Apple. We should be 3.5% Apple. And maybe the oil area, this is not a prediction or anything. The oil area was, you know, the part that went over the fence last year. So instead of being 20% oil, I think we should be 23% oil. You know, these are all like reasonable decisions that people make based on performance the year before, whether it stacks out on the skis, where they think it's chasing. But I mean, essentially what a manager does. It's not.
Well, in tech trends and things like that, too, would be
right.
Part of it.
Or you might, yeah, I mean, there's no question. But the point is that these are somewhat reasonable decisions between, underneath an overall umbrella. Okay, so somebody's going to say, there was a guy in Ohio that he was, you know, 40-50% Cisco when Cisco ran up. Well, he ran Cisco from five bucks to 60 back before 2000 and all the way back to 8 without selling a share. Okay, so that guy, for 5 years, you wanted to be all over him, and the next year you wanted no part of him. So it really comes down to what, and people get in love with these stocks. I mean, I have to say this year, I don't know how you could be fully in Apple or Microsoft after what they did last year. That's just me. Because do you really expect stocks that have essentially up 50%, 60% in 1 year, that they're going to do that twice? I mean, maybe you could, but it's real rare. I mean, it'd have to be, you know, another iPhone from them or something. I mean, so these are decisions that are made. And at the end of the year, it's interesting because I've been doing the protected stuff that I do. This year, coming off the horrible quarter of last year, everybody wanted to be protected. I had so much money pouring in here, I was having trouble putting it all to work. And yet I've talked to people, I put in a bunch of different indexes, and some outperformed the market, and some, a couple didn't even move. And it's not like I didn't talk it over with the people. Let's head off the break, we'll talk about this when we come back. SP Futures still up 5. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 450, NASDAQ Futures up 9.25, continuing our end of year rally. Dow Futures up 36. We'll see if they continue all day. My guess is we probably will. Nikkei up 142.6%, Shanghai up 25.8%, Hang Seng down 42.1%. Hang Seng obviously had, I was reading some big article this weekend about how that has been a big lagger this year, a lot of it because of the protests and the, well, a lot of stuff, bad stuff going on in Hong Kong, and I don't think it's ending anytime soon, unfortunately. A 10-year here, 1.91, Bund minus 0.24, Japan minus 0.02, got positive just a little bit on Friday and then fell off a little bit. Oil, we're up 22 cents, 61.33, Brent up 30, 67.50, natural gas, 223 is the balmier it gets outside. It's not so balmy for natural gas traders, even though it is up 6 cents today. RBOB up 173. My 213 place that I got gas last week is like 265 now. So much for the 213. Gold up 439, 1509 back over. But here was the trade of the last 10 days. Silver was 1667, now it's 1801. It's 8 or 9% in like a week. You don't normally see that. We should have been on that one. Copper, 283, so up another penny. So I'm still sneaking some of my people into some of these stocks that do these things, although the world's most honest man, they haven't moved yet. I could use them to move today, but I'm, you know, once in a while I get to be right, but even then I'm usually early. That's the bone of, it's the bane of basically a lot of traders. But Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Very quiet on the area expressways, as you could imagine, the day after Christmas. A lot of folks are off work. Kids are off of school. And there's no issues to report coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways are all quiet. Suburban tollways are quiet, too. We do have a couple of issues off the expressways. Lake Cook Road on the westbound side at Hicks Road, which is Route 53 in the northwestern suburbs, there is a crash. And then a couple of issues in the city. Northwest side, Kimball at Fullerton, there is a crash. Well, actually, the crash is Kimball and Wrightwood, two blocks north of Fullerton. There's crews at Fullerton there in Kimball. So keep that in mind. And then in Lincoln Park, Halstead between Willow and North Avenue is closed for a broken water main. So the CTA is rerouting the number 8 Halstead buses this morning as they work to get that situated. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, we set a record, December 26th. This is the warmest December 26th in Chicago history. It already happened. At midnight, it was 56 degrees, and that broke the 55-degree record. And then today we're going up to a high of 58, so we'll tack on a few more record-breaking degrees today with partly cloudy skies and a high of 58. Right now it's mostly clear and 52 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, some showers in the forecast today and a high of 61. Right now it's partly cloudy and 43. In sports, it was quiet yesterday for all of our local teams. The Bulls and Suns were not in action for the Christmas Day NBA games. They return to action on Friday. Blackhawks and Coyotes were off as well, and they don't play tonight either. They'll return to action on Friday too, and there was no college hoops. So a quiet night in sports, but bowl season is underway in earnest beginning this afternoon. Chief.
What year do you think the Bulls will be back on Christmas Day? Will it be this decade?
Well, this decade is in the 20s. That begin the here in a few days. Yes, of course.
See now, Maddie's sneaking that one in, Kevin. The decade begins,
yeah, I hear
it begins in a few days. What's your opinion on that?
It doesn't matter. Well, my opinion is, don't care.
I see.
Go ahead. Argue it out.
I'm
don't
saying,
care.
Let me finish up my story on the stocks. That, a lot of times you want to do what everybody else is not doing. Like I was mentioning, everybody, I had a bunch of money and was given to manage this year because people after the last quarter of last year couldn't wait to be in a protected program. Okay, but coming off the horrible last quarter, even though I did what I was supposed to do, which I always do, I was a little light. I bought the puts a little out of the money, and I didn't really sell any calls because I had a feeling we could snap up after the last quarter of last year, and we did. You know, so within the program, there's a lot of latitude, so I just didn't sell any calls. So actually, we had a nice year for people, even though we were protected. I mean, not 27% nice, but the interesting part was, depending on the indexes you picked, because everybody's running around with this 27% on the tip of their tongue, there are indexes that were barely unchanged. The Russell just went up like the last 2 or 3 weeks of the year, the last month. The XLE, I think, was down, which is the old stuff. And a lot of people wanted to be in there because it was lagging. But if you weren't, the S&P did very well, and the QQQs did exceptionally well. Because that's where your Apple and the other stuff is, your fangs are 45% of the QQQ. So, now this year, nobody wants to be protected. And yet what I'm saying, from my 35 years being in the business, maybe more now, I'm going to say coming into this year, even though if you're, you know, it's 70-ish and you've got all your money in stock when normally you'd have had half of it in the bank, which you don't anymore, I think everybody, depending on your time of life, needs some sort of protection because you're basically all out there in something that you normally wouldn't be. I mean, you know, when I say normally, traditionally, somebody who's retired and so forth probably, you know, different firms have different numbers, but it's probably, you know, 20-30% cash, 30-40% fixed income and 30-40% stock. If you're retired and you're 75 and you're never going to be able to go back to work, that sort of thing. But everybody's pushed into a different risk category because you're not getting anything in a bank and nobody'd buy a long bond here. Their life depended on it. Unless you're the Fed. Oh, so I snuck that in. Well, I'm going to say that it's probably way more important that for you to be protected going into this year because look how much higher the market is. I mean, I'm much more nervous about it here than I was last January 1st. It's a lot higher. I mean, duh. And yet nobody cares.
Yeah, I'd be worried. I'd be worried about it higher. And the only thing I'd say that would make somebody feel good about, or you know, what I would say that should make people feel at least good about economically how we're going to do is cleaning up some of this trade agreement stuff. Should provide some stability. Does that mean that the market should be taking off or that it shouldn't be as high? Not even close to my area of expertise. But from just a general economic standpoint, I would think that the getting USMCA done and getting something done with China that gives us some certainty again would be good things.
Okay, but then the market...
You translate that to investments, because that's your job, not mine.
First of all, I don't know. But if I would say that if the market was down 40% with all the fighting and baiting back and forth for the last year and a half, I would say time for a rally. But we're not. We never went down. Based on tariffs and all the other stuff. We never went down, right?
So... So what you're saying is that this wouldn't be cause for a rally. It would be cause for, but possibly cause for not a plunge.
No, what I'm saying is everything you look at, this is the part that is very difficult to impart to people that have never essentially traded. Everything in this world has a market to it. hey, buddy, I love your tie. I'll give you $20 for it. And if I gave you $20 for it and somebody offered me $50, I'll sell it to him. It's, I got a buy price and a sell price on virtually everything except friends and family, right? I mean, it's not that, everybody knows that's not my personality, but that's,
well, I don't know if I'd get the right price for any of you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, in a heartbeat.
See, a million bucks from Eddie Weber? Jeez. Where can I sign? I would never do that.
No. I was thinking, you know, 25 for Matt.
Yeah, I don't think I'm pulling seven figures.
25 mil or 25 bucks?
25 bucks.
Oh, God. That's a,
it's not a lot of faith.
Not even a grant, huh? A 50. You're talking about a Jackson and a little something. A Jackson and a Lincoln, and he's good to go. But, I mean, it's all about, I mean, I've always loved Procter & Gamble as a company. You know, not so much lately, but during my career. But I just always thought it was got a premium to it because it was so well run. I thought it was fairly priced. But I didn't think it was too expensive. I didn't think it was too cheap. I just thought it was fairly priced. Right? I mean, if you see somebody with an old Corvette, you go, man, I'd really like one of these days. How much is it? The guy will go $35,000, and you'll say, okay, that's a fair price. At 45, if it was mine, I'd sell it. At 25, I'm a buyer. 35, okay, it's a fair price. I can always pay 35 for it. I'm not going to buy it today or something, or I might buy it today. But I'm not getting a bargain or anything. I'm just paying fair. So my job is to look for something that's a little undervalued, right? That's the idea. But the point being is, in general, if you look at some of the stuff, and I don't want to be a doggy downer here in the last week of the year, especially after two great days of my family, but if you look at this entire rally, really, for the last, since 2000, 2008 for sure, 2008, I mean, is most of the money, and I don't, this is not an off-the-ass statement, most of the money, new money pouring into the stock market has been from companies themselves buying their own stock back. I mean, I don't know how healthy that is, Kevin. It's not like everybody in the economy is making 5% more a year and they can't wait to invest it because they love Lululemon. Okay, I happen to think Lululemon's a pretty good stock too, but it's not. IBM, why haven't they just paid dividends all those years? I mean, why are they bought what 35-40% of the stock back? What for?
They have a lot of excess cash sitting around and they don't want it to sit around.
Well, but a lot of them are actually borrowing money to
spend it on the stock.
I would, on
the buyback.
Well, David will know more later.
And prop up the stock prices while they're at it.
I'm gonna say that 40-50% of the money used to buy back the stocks has been borrowed.
Oh, could be. Yeah. That would be interesting to know.
I bet you David can make a stab at it. He's the one who's always watching the corporate balance sheets and saying, I mean, why does Microsoft, with all that cash on the balance sheet, why do they have to borrow money to buy their stock back? They're not using the cash, Kevin. I mean, I don't know if I'd vote for that if I'm on the board.
Yeah, don't know what to tell you, Tom. I have heard that discussion before where, people have said, well, you know, we might as well drive up the stock price because we're not doing anything else with the cash.
It also might be drive up the stock price because I have stock options.
Absolutely. No, that's part of what's behind it.
By the way...
You can't do that if you don't have the cash to do it unless you're going to borrow it, and if you're going to borrow it, then that has its implications as well.
By the way, thanks to a listener, I'll get in a minute, but sent me in a thing about how many companies, Kevin, that have done nothing but buy in stock. And it wouldn't be IBM or Microsoft because they've actually, if you look at their share, and if you look at some of these, and there was a list of them, again, I read all the stuff, believe me, that those listeners sent in. And it had to do with some of the companies, the amount of shares outstanding are still the same. That they're buying the stuff back in, the people, which is brings it up over a price to where the internal people are exercising their options and they're lending them the money to buy the stock, and all we're doing is having a big circle between outside people owning it and internal people owning it.
So it's money laundering.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's money.
Well, it sort of is.
It's money washing.
It's compensation.
Right. But the shares are still outstanding.
It's a compensation money exchange.
For those,
that's a discussion I've had in the past with other bosses, and I may have mentioned it a time or two here. If you're going to treat all of that as executive compensation, fine. That can be what it is. Just get it up front where people can see what it is.
I'm going to say, Kevin.
Don't do things that cover the track.
These are not people that have had Kevin O'Neill's classes. I'm going to say that this whole management class that we're talking about that Eric was the first one to bring up on the show. Do you think, I mean, as I used to joke on the trading floor about a dividend, why would I give my money to perfect strangers? I mean, how tight do you think people really feel management with their investors? Do you think the top 30 people at Commonwealth Edison, to, only to the extent that they have stock, you think if it came down to a big raise for them versus a half a cent a year or more in a dividend to people, which do you think the choice is?
Well, they think they got it coming, Tom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, two seconds, just as you've brought up better than anybody else with the difference in the politics and everything, how people can argue about anything. I get about four or five things in the mail, controversies regarding when does the decade begin. So, of course, before I do any opine on it, I dig back, and just like the blue moon, there's like three different versions of what's a blue moon. Yet you can ask people, what's a blue moon? And I'm going to say 95% of people will say it's the second full moon in the same month. Okay. Which isn't, other people would say that's not exactly true. It would be the 13th full moon in 1 year. And that's not exactly true either, because if you have a blue moon, generally you're going to have four blue moons in a quarter. All right. So there's the first full moon, the second, and the last. So if you have four, they have three of them that are named. The only one that's not named is the fourth, and it can't be the last because that's already got a name. So some people would think it's the third full moon in a quarter that has four. So there's different interpretations in all this, and it's really hard to say which one is right, although people are adamant in their point of view that that's their culture today. So I never even thought about this decade thing. I just never even paid much attention like you, Kevin. I don't give a crap. All of a sudden now I'm reading there's a big controversy here. So now if most people would say, probably, and Matty Weber more emphatically than most, that the 60s are any year ending in a 6, meaning 60 to 69. So now it would be, you know, 2010 versus to 2019, which means the decade would end next week. Now if you do that, you've got to add 2 years to history. Or you have to be willing to put up with the fact that the first decade only had 9 years and not 10. Now, if you listen to that, most people go, wait a minute, how could a decade only have 9 years? That can't be right. So if you give the first decade 10 years, now the decade does not start till next year. So
how is that true?
Because if the first year, it's the first decade the first year is the first year. It's not the zero year. So, you know, even though 1960 is a year, the year zero is
saying,
not a year.
You're saying we start counting at one, not
right.
at zero.
Right.
Why wouldn't you count at zero? Well, you count at zero every other decade.
Well, that's the point, but then that would be, that's the 10th year.
I don't understand what you're saying. Zero to one is a year.
Right.
One to two is a year, two to three is a year, three to four, it equals 10 years when you get to the...
But you don't start... You
Who
don't
doesn't?
Start... They don't... You would have to add 2 years to history.
I don't think you have to add anything. I don't understand what you're saying.
If
explain this to me if you can.
The first decade would have to have ended after year nine.
Why?
Because year 10 would be the next decade.
Right, but year 10 is the beginning of... the 11th year.
When you start counting, you don't count zero as a year. It's one to ten.
All right, let's try it this way. What does AD stand for?
Well, it's after whatever. Now it's actually got a new word now.
No, it's I think it's the Latin Anno Domini.
Right, right.
Which is in the year of our Lord.
That's right.
So the presumption is that that year zero is year zero is the year Jesus was born.
Right.
So the first decade would be 0 through 9.
Yeah, he's 10 years old in year 10, not one.
Right. The decade starts next week.
Right. No, the decade starts a year from now.
Yeah. Year zero is the first year of our Lord. Year one is the first birthday of Jesus.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to start the second decade at 10. you would have to start counting at one.
You see what I'm saying? Start counting at zero.
Maybe, okay, but you don't.
The decade is zero through nine.
Well, let me ask Maddie another way. Is it if Jill dumps him, would the first year he's dumped be the 0 year or the first year he was dumped?
What I don't understand is why the 365 days that happen in zero, why is that not a year?
Because it's considered year one. It's the first year AD to first year BC.
I'm just saying.
That's zero.
But it's still 10 years.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you would have to add 2 years to the calendar.
What do you have to add?
All right. We are now dedicating what 10 minutes of airtime to a really silly subject.
Well, but the thing of it is, people will argue about anything. I guess
it's better than talking about the Bears, though.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, if you feel that way, and by the way, I happen to agree with you, Maddie.
365 days happen in that year zero,
I'm just saying,
it counts
mathematically. If you believe that the first decade was 9 years, which I'm perfectly happy with, by the way. I'm okay with that.
It'd
be 9 years.
Why is it 9 years?
Because it goes after.
It goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 10 years.
We don't
years.
Normally start counting at zero.
Yes, though. We do. Every decade. This decade, it's going to be 20. That's a zero. 21, 22, 23,
okay.
24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. It's 10 years.
All I'm saying is if the
I've made a living in the computer world. We definitely, in that world, start counting at zero.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about this forgotten year. It's all counted.
It starts at the end of year nine. You go from one to nine.
You go from zero to nine. You don't start at 1921 to 1929. You start at 1920 to 29.
All right, so if
it never starts at one.
All right, so if I owe you $10 at the end of the year, in your mind, I owe you 20?
What?
It's 2 years?
Chief, I have no idea what you just said.
I'm just...
What am I missing here?
You're missing the fact
that... When you're born and you're one, that year counts.
You're one.
There's 365 days.
What am I...
It counts.
But the end of the year is 1 year.
Right.
Not zero.
The birthday is not a good example. But the point is that the 0 year is counted every decade.
All right. Make this very simple. If the second decade starts at year 10, where the last day is December 31st, 9, how many years are in the first decade?
10.
9.
10.
No, there's 10. The zero...
There's the first year. The first year, BC, first year AD. If you're right, all I'm saying is...
Your AD ended. It rolled over from... to the first year completed at the end of the first year of the life of Jesus.
Right.
In other words, the zero year.
See what happens? Is that just like the blue moon. I don't have an opinion. I'm just saying that if this happens, then that happens, is all I'm doing.
How is... Is my brain missing something? Why is zero different than 10 or 20 or 30 or 40?
Because... If the year when you start counting, how many times you got to count to get to 10? 1 to 10, right? You don't start at zero.
This is not the same thing.
I'm saying, okay, why not?
Because you're tallying the days to make up a year.
See how this goes, Kevin? This is why we have political
argument.
Yeah, how
about them Bears, huh?
How about those Bears? By the way, how long are we waiting on those guys? We'll change the subject, and we'll find the people right now.
I suspect that they will be much improved next year because, one, they'll be getting the defensive guys back, and so the defense can become dominant. But I'm kind of hoping that Matt Nagy has a little capacity to learn. So, I am neither, bullish on Trubisky, nor am I anxious to get rid of him either, because... I kind of pin a lot of what happened this season on the coach and the decisions he made. For example, first of all, his play calling I still think is atrocious. Whenever they get desperate and start to throw the ball straight up the field, use the seams, all of that, all of a sudden they're better. And then he comes out the next game and he starts calling the sideways game plan again. Which I just can't stand, especially in the NFL, because everybody's fast.
Everybody's real fast.
To get to the side. aside from that, he's got a quarterback, you know, talk about not realizing, not self-scouting. He's got a quarterback who hadn't mastered the offense yet. Well, they got better. They improved offensively when they scaled back the amount of playbook they threw at the guy. So, first of all, they spent the whole preseason, didn't give him a single game snap when he hadn't mastered, you know, the playbook and game plan, you know, their game planning and so on. And second of all is they kept throwing more at him than he could handle, assuming that he would eventually get it, and they gave away games because they didn't scale back. You don't ask people to do what they aren't ready or capable of doing. And the guy has ability, you know, so just ask him to do what he's capable of doing and see how that works before we get too nutty about, you know, doing more stuff. And I just don't understand it, and I'm pinning all that on the coach, and the coach not really understanding what he had.
Well, some people can get it pretty quick. I mean, I watched the Eagles game last week, and every one of their wide receivers is pretty much out. I mean, at the start of the year, with one of the guys, the practice squad seems pretty good, but then one tight end gets hurt. Well, the other tight end catches like 10 balls. So you would think as a coach and as a quarterback, okay, I got one live, one left. Let's try and use the other guys for decoys as best we can, and we'll at least use the one guy we know can catch. I don't know, the Bears would do that. But they thought they had all his depth, Kevin, and it always comes down to, you know, who are your people? For some reason, they thought this tight end was going to come back all year. They played 10 games without a tight end position.
I mean, and there's, you know, that goes to general manager, and I'm fine with that, too, with that apportion of blame, because they also got caught without depth on the offensive line.
Well, I mean, but these are guys that did live with these people. It's always stunning to me. I mean, we used to talk to a couple of football players, and Dr. J, you know, he knew a lot of these guys. And he'd say, you know, people never told coaches and trainers how badly they felt or whatever. I mean, everybody thought, you know, Kyle Long was coming back as somebody who wasn't going to practice as much and maybe had to take, you know, wasn't going to play every snap. Nobody thought after four games the guy'd be like out of football without even really another injury, just from the stuff he had.
I mean, but he had enough injuries that you had to have a plan B.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Didn't. And I don't know if they had one. Because I remember Tom Thayer at the beginning of the year talking about...
If they did, it was a bad plan B.
Yeah, well, Tom Thayer talking about their depth was so... This is the first year, where, you know, the last preseason game. Everybody they cut, the last eight guys are going to be starters on another team. You never saw so much depth. And by the way, I happen to think Tom is a spectacular analyst. But you can really get in love with some of your own people. Now, Danny Trevathan, I happen to think he's a hell of a ball player. Now this is... At least two, maybe three years in a row, he's missed the last six, seven games. Now, he's so good that it's hard to go without him. I mean,
but in their case, they had Kwiatkowski waiting in the wings,
right.
And that was a good plan B.
Right.
And, you know, there was some discussion in the preseason about, you know, would he be able to make the roster? Would they be able to carry him again? Thank goodness they did, because he was important.
Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, Kevin, because they don't really play a fullback, and yet you see the Patriots, they have a fullback, and against, you won't see the guy for 5 weeks, and all of a sudden they'll be up against a team that maybe has some soft linebackers. They put the fullback in and they run, and this guy's knocking people over like they're tenpins.
I mean, the Patriots have Brady, so they are willing to switch. You know, they have a quarterback who can do this and pull it off, but they are a team that is willing to switch its game plan from week to week, its approach to football. Offensive football from week to week, and they're really good at it. And you know, it is worth watching. If you watch enough Patriots, you'll see they come out. You know, sometimes they're a running team, sometimes they never run. You know, it's really that's kind of cool. But it helps to have a quarterback who's been starting for the last 43
years.
Who's
the guy that's on? I don't know if he's on. Maybe is he on Fox or ESPN? The old coach of Tampa, invented the Tampa 2. Tells his name. Tall black guy. Son.
You're talking about Tony Dungy?
Yeah.
NBC, yeah.
Didn't his son commit suicide or something bizarre like that? Anyway, I've always really liked him. And one day he was talking about Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. He goes, when I was coaching, and one thing I remembered is it was almost like my week off. The guy goes, why? He goes, why watch the game film? You learn nothing from the game film. Because what he did to the team before last week was not give me any clue what's he going to do to you. That I thought was awesome.
Yeah, and you know, it's part of their formula. Yeah. Is you know, it's what Mike Bray always said was important, and then got away from it a little bit until now, and that was get old and stay old.
Well,
and the Patriots have been good at that. But again, you also have Brady, so.
All right, bud.
We'll see how all that works when we get to the next guy, which is going to happen in the next couple of years.
Well, tomorrow we're going to go through a lot of stuff for football. We'll predict some of these games. There's probably four or five games that mean something, so we'll go through those tomorrow. SP Futures up 450, NASDAQ Futures up 10. Right back, Mr. Fari Hamzy.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's john@PTIsecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom. I'm just Mr. Matt Weber. Should have fire in a few minutes. He's in all new systems over there. Might be calling a little bit late, but I'm sure he'll pile in. S&P futures up 450. NASDAQ futures up 10 and a quarter. Individual stocks. Hey, Apple's up 49 cents. Boeing down 70 cents. CVX, Chevron down 95. So other than that, not much going on to the upside. Again, we had the big gold rally last week. I'm happy to say that participated in some of that. And you know, Manny, when I we have fire, I was going to talk to.
What did you participate again?
Which one?
What did you debate again?
What did we debate everything?
I cannot hear you. Hold on.
We debate everything.
Hold on, Murray. Right. Hold on, Murray. I can't hear you.
Jesus, the more high tech he gets, the worse he gets. What do you think, Manny?
You hear me? Okay.
I hear you. Fine. You are loud and clear.
Okay, here we go.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, happy whatever.
Well, this is a message from Captain Tico. You know me, my religion is baseball.
Yes.
But Tico is very tight with money, so.
I can see him being. Who's the guy on Saturday Night Live? Was it Garrett Morrison? Baseball has been very, very good to me.
baseball has been very, very good, yeah. And remember, he was on the hearing impaired. So he would, Bill. The guy who played Jerry Ford used to, the first. Weekend update. He would yell in the background louder.
I forgot all about that guy. I watched the one last week. I thought was a riot with Eddie Murphy.
How was that? I haven't seen it yet. I heard it was really good.
Matt, you got to watch this thing.
It was funny.
Off the charts. Amazing.
I have having never been in jail, and hopefully never going to be there, I'm kind of stunned. How does Bill Cosby, well, I guess they have TVs in jail, so I'm not going to say people shouldn't have TVs. How does he watch the show and immediately the next day evidently tweet out that he didn't like the reference to him being in jail?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you get to
lawyers called him and said you were on TV. You can't watch live TV, or you can't have cell phone in there, right?
I have no idea. That's what I'm asking.
No, you can't. I'm sure he's got somebody tweeting for him.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of in minimum security, isn't he?
That's what I think. Matt is right. Somebody else has to tweet for you. You can't tweet from there either. So,
well, like I said, I don't know. I don't think he got a cell phone solitary, but
you still have a flip phone. I mean, come on. give us a break. You still use a flip phone.
By the way, I'm going back to that, I think. Going back to the flip phone for security.
So you're going back to the flip phone. You're upgrading, I see.
Yeah, I'm going on. So it's one of the questions I'm going to ask you high-powered guys. I was reading this thing this morning about how some people now think it's dangerous to buy stuff with a debit card. Now, since many...
That's always been a problem. No, that's always been a problem because they can pick up your... I mean, that's where I've seen most vulnerability in my car issues down here in southwestern Florida. It's the gas station. If you give your card in the gas station on a debit card, you might as well kiss it goodbye.
Why are debit cards more dangerous than just a credit?
Because you have to punch your code.
Okay,
so they have everything from you. There's no CCTV on the back for you to punch in, right? So the bad guys already have everything they want. They got the card reader, they got your PIN number. But with the credit card, some merchants require, based on the software they have, their POS, to punch in your COV in the back, but they have to turn it around, punch that in, before they can charge you. Let's say you go to Macy's or what have you. And that shows you have a physical possession.
No, up here I've never
had a physical possession. You just have electronic data on you.
Up here I've never had to do that. You have to put in your zip code at all the gas stations.
That they do on the credit card now. They're getting smarter on the credit card. Yeah, you got to put your zip code too, sure.
I've never had a turn on the when you do something on a line.
Online, uh-huh.
Or if you call up, they always want the number on the back of the card.
Yes. Yeah, right now for authentication, that's one of the things they throw you at. Because you can on the dark web, they can probably buy your social security anyway.
How do you get on the dark web? I want to go over there once in a while just to see what's there.
Well, you have to be lean and mean in the dark web. So why don't you get you on a keto diet first, okay?
Yeah.
And then we'll send you there.
I don't think...
because they got, there's some mean people over there. We don't want you to be hurt.
So if I just, like, Google, how do I get on the dark web, do, like, the five things come up that gets me there, or what?
No. It's not that easy.
So in other words, I should just forget it. You're
okay.
Saying? I'll just forget it then.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not... First of all, we should have discussed it over there. Radio waves. Secondly, you index some searching, and somebody ought to tell you what to do, where to go to do that type of a deal. I'm not the right guy, but I've known a few people in the past who've done that. It's a process, okay? Let's go to the next subject. Let's talk about some blonde.
Well, let's talk about gold, since I had a nice week in gold.
That's close enough. That's bright enough. Yes, That would also brighten your day, sure.
So I was mentioning to Maddie, we're talking a little bit about what it's like to trade and how we're having a good year one year. Does that translate into a good year the next year? Because a lot of retail people will look and see who did the best the year before and invest with them this year. And yet the literature since 1975 when I was in grad school is it's probably the exact wrong thing to do. Because even then, I remember Milton Friedman saying, if you want to have a good year, find the guy who had the worst year last year and put your money with him. Because everybody bounces back. Whatever you overweighted in the year before probably does not, you don't want to overweight the same thing 2 years in a row. In this last year, clearly if you were Apple, Microsoft, you beat the pants off everybody else. Now if you just stick with that same portfolio, are you a winner or a loser this year in relation to other people? And it's hard to do it with the same stocks 2 years in a row.
From a game theory standpoint, shouldn't the texture change?
Well, sure. I mean, it's...
Okay, if it doesn't, you can game the system.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, right now, for example, here's what I'm hearing from... I just looked at the email that just came in the morning that says, no respects to Farry. You know, my ranking, you know, is clear for itself for this. On PMT, on Town Days for Years. But I think I'm going to go just to investing. I don't want to time the market.
Right.
Okay. Now, the other fellow, the other day, night before last, he wrote and said, I'm in three stocks. I'm in Tesla, I'm in Amazon, I'm in Apple. I can do no wrong.
Right.
What do you think? I said, I want to have whatever you're having for breakfast. As a joke. Because what happened last year doesn't matter, it's going to happen next year. Well, you could begin to see these, and then you can look at SKEW, which I'm posting on Twitter with attention to Stocks and Jocks listeners, and you say, okay, something is happening. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know why, but when SQ goes up like that, we have a tsunami coming. So, and maybe we need a few. What do you call it? Maybe we need a few people saying everything is hunky dory. I can do this on my own, and no disrespect, but I forget about trading. I want to just invest only.
Right.
Buy and hold. That's what we call buy and hold. So we'll see. We'll see how things work out, but that's what I read in the charts. Something is about to come, and we shall see. We shall see.
Well, other than
as I say to them, welcome to America.
Well, this is not a prediction or a harbinger of things to come, because you got to be careful with history. Is
yes,
2000 when it got so narrow? It was at that time it was time to get out, but nobody ever dreamed that the stocks that were running the QQQs back then were going to go from 65 to 8. I mean, looking back on it, I would never have predicted that. The Intels of the world and the Oracles and the Ciscos, I mean, they went well. The index went from the QQQ at that time. It got to be 120, which was, pretty friggin' hard, high at the time. And where'd it go, Farry? Went to 25? We're talking about an index, not a stock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, fairly dramatic, your stock. We had a client, one of the nicest guys, he came pouring out of Oracle with all his stock, right? And, he wasn't gonna sell it. And so, I said, well, he goes, well, you understand you have a protected program? And I go, yeah. So the stock's 60-ish So we go out, we buy the 60 puts out a couple years. And sure enough, the stock drops to 60. So he's down, you know, $13 on the stock. We made six on the puts, six or seven or eight, you know, I mean, but it wasn't 13 because you're never going to get dollar for dollar. Because these were long-term puts. It wasn't like, you know, we're buying a put for this Friday where you're going to get massive curvature on the delta. I just lobbed that one in there. But in other words, if you're buying an option, if you think the stock is going to drop or go up 20% today, you don't go out and buy a two-year option because its rate of change is not going to be anywhere near the same as if you bought one that goes out tomorrow, right? It's going to be 100 delta in a second. Anyway, I know I just said a lot there.
That's what I always say. I want to know whatever the chief has for breakfast. Did you guys get this? Maddie, did you get this or no? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. You got to figure out what he has for breakfast.
Well, I'm just saying. So we pick up, you know, we did something, right? It was better than a sharp stick in the eye. So now it's 50, and I said, you know, the stock is kind of heading. So now we get a little more aggressive, and we buy some closer in. So the stock goes from, like, 50 to 35.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So now we pick up.
Okay.
Yeah. So we probably pick up 10 of that 15. But still
so that's a little shock therapy there. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's still another you know, we picked up 10, but we're down another 5, right? So, because you're not, because we didn't buy extras or anything. The guy's still bullish as hell on the stock. Then it gets to 35, and he goes, I'm willing to do, you know, I'm just willing to hang on to Oracle here. There's no way it's going below 35. I think it went to 7 or 9 or some number. And now we don't have any puts because now he said, why do I got to insure it down here? Look how cheap it is. Well, and so out of the 65 to 9, we did a nice job. We probably picked up 15, and then he didn't want to do it anymore because why insure it down this low? So out of the, you know, say 54-point carnage, we helped him for 15, which is better than a sharp stick in the eye, but it's still nowhere near what you expect. You know, if I just would have done it myself and said, I don't know, you know, I don't say why the thing's even 35. They weren't making any dough. I mean, but instead he was, you know, he was obviously very involved in the process, and I would never have let loose the protection. You know, but still, it wasn't like I doubled up and bought the ones for this Friday. I mean, you can be, I mean, anytime you trade, people think this is so easy. I'll even talk about a win.
Yeah.
We had a huge winner this week, right? And, when I say I don't predict stocks any better than most people, that's why I have people like Farian. They're better at that. But in terms of using options to do the cheap stuff and to try and look for the big gain, I don't know if there's anybody any better. I mean, I'm sure there probably is, but nobody's met. So we got to.
That's what we'd like to talk to you.
So we got to spread in the GDX, Farian. And I've been waiting for gold to break.
Bullish or bearish?
Yeah, well, I've been bullish. I've never been a gold guy forever, like the commercial says. But with these people doing this with the currency worldwide, I'm absolutely convinced that one of these days that gold is going to go up in relation to a dollar, not in relation to your house or anything. But I talk all the time about currency that nobody listens to and a lot of people don't understand. But I talk about it and I think confuse people, but I try not to do that. But somewhere along the line, the dollars that we're seeing in relation to gold are going to change in value. I'm not going to say that the gold in relation to your house or your car or whatever. And because we're pouring dollars out, and we're not making gold that much faster. Okay, to be perfectly blunt. So I've been over this 28 strike 10 times this year, and I'm saying we've made money two or three of the 10. Because whenever GDX gets a 28, it's like the commercial with the whack-a-mole, right? So now last week we actually made some dough in a position. We made like 13 cents on a pretty good sized trade. all of a sudden we're. The spread the next week, the week-to-week spread, is 6 cents. So JD, my trusted advisor, goes, well, we could do it twice as big next week if you still feel that way. And still we're even or up a penny. Let's do that. So now we got this pretty much monster spread on for us, not like we're Goldman Sachs or anything. And we got like 900 of them, 880 or something, which, you know, is that all of a sudden the thing starts moving up like there's no tomorrow. So my man JD says, well, I sold half of them at 18 cents, which means we're up, you know, 9 cents for the whole mess. And how do you not do that? 2 hours later, they're 60 cents. So we sell another half at 60, and now they're going to open up today, probably 75 or 80. I'm like, well, just on a spread that we managed, just because of hard work, we managed to get in for next to nothing, not nothing, because we paid the first time through. and all of a sudden it could be a nice big winner. There have been times, Fari, when everybody didn't know where the market was going, the guys around the place, where you could actually do some cheap stuff for a few cents. If you do this week that way, you can maneuver, you've got your position, and maybe you're into something for 2 cents or even or for a slight credit, and you let it run for a week. It just, you know, it's like a lottery ticket for nothing. I mean, you're not supposed to refer to investing like that, but if you maneuver the spreads, now 1 week the spread was 12 cents, the next week it was 6 because of the holidays. And I'm like, gold can go up during a holiday. It's not like the Fed's not doing anything. Sure enough, it did. Now, Tuesday, I said, why don't I just dump this thing and try the spread the next week? Well, now I've resigned to the game. Now, the next week's 18 cents for the same spread I did 2 weeks ago for 6 cents. There's no way on earth I'm paying 18 for the thing. I mean, I paid it at 6 because it was a, quote, bargain in relation to where the price is. It's normally 9, 10, 11 cents. So if it's below that, I want to buy it. Okay, then if one expires, I'm essentially long a group of stocks for a week for 7, 8 cents or 9 cents or something. And, you know, once in a while, if you keep doing this and you do the work, once or twice a year, you should walk in and say, hey, whoa, these things are a buck. Now, you don't expect to win on all. Matter of fact, you don't expect to win on very many of them, but the ones that you do win on, you know, should be bigger than the ones you lost. Not, maybe not in total, but it's a lot of work. There's a skill set to that. But now, over the course of a decade, now all we've done is gone straight up. And every time an option was cheap, it was supposed to be cheap. But I get the feeling, like you're talking about the skew, the powers to be right now are not as comfortable with this market as they were 2 months ago.
No, they're not. As a matter of fact, Matt, do you want to see that? I just put it up there for you guys. Of course, with a link to YouTube. This is an alert to me out there, especially if you look at the last time it was anywhere close to here was like September of 2018. And remember what happened after that. So, and this is a comparison above it. You got two parts of this chart, SPX on top and SQ on the bottom. And as you see, both of them, I use what's crucial to me, which is its internal indigenous vibration. What does that mean? Sigma Taurus. We want to see how it behaves against itself. So on the top, you have to see how SPX is behaving, and below that is SQ. And look at the correlation. We've just shot up, I wrote last night to our membership, of from December 3rd, we have seen an SQ we haven't seen in a year and a half. Something is up here.
Well, I think you're right, Fari, but after...
And remember, the downside tail risk of the SPX options. That's not mom and pops. That's big guns. They see something here. Well, at least, maybe they don't... At the minimum, they see a need for some protection down there. What actually they see, we could never tell, right? Like CNBC, when I was using my put call, yeah, they're calling Nostradamus. But they kept on asking me, like Tom Costello, Mary Thompson, these are some of the brightest guys they had at CNBC, would say, well, what's the news? I said, hold on. We're using public data, okay? We're using option data because the settlement difference between option versus cash, we can give you a cone of probability, okay, of which way it's going to go. Is it going to go up or down? But we don't know what the news is. Your job is go to find the news. You're the journalist, not me. I'm a data guy. I'm looking at the data and saying chances are XYZ, like Boeing, for example, is going to go down, not up. Well, get what the current news is because the settlement looks forward. When you get a forward indicator, you get a chart, such a rear view that already happened. But put call, pressure on the stock, on the settlement issue, that's what's happening in that forward window. That's where you could see the future, Nostradamus, right? So, if you look at that, my job isn't come up with the news. That's the job of a newscaster. My job to say is, expect the good news or expect the bad news. That's all I can tell.
Well, you also...
So I don't know what the news is going to be, but that's what...
One of the hard parts is, just like with my GDX position, and there's a lesson here in the sense that for the last, really, 10 years, other than... The part February of 18 and last quarter of last year, by and large, everything has been a buy the dip after 2 or 3 days.
Exactly. So it was a buy and hope.
So if
the hashtag I use was buy and hope, of course. And you know what? That's what we need for a big drop. We want to get all these pumpkins happy that everything is hunky dory and be buy and hope. You don't need any smart guys like the chief or Matt Weber and just Barnhope.
Well, but also, if you're doing that, say there's a few times where, you know, you time the market or David or whatever, or even me decides, okay, well, hell, we've been up 4 days in a row. We're going to do a little something here. There's been a few times during that period of time where you could buy some puts, or, you know, or I guess you could short stock, even though we don't do that. But
I was talking longer than that.
But I'm saying, if you do that and if you were right, okay, which most of the time you weren't because it just went up. If you were right, if you bought them for a buck, you can't wait to sell them at 250, right?
So the day
that it happens, where maybe we keep going like last quarter or last year, you're not going to save. You're going to be so happy with your dollar and a half. You're not going to have them when they trade 10. I mean, just get over it. You're not going to have them.
Well, you know, but that's hold on. That's a mental state. If you're doing market timing, you can't be day trading. You can't be trading market making. You can't be market making on the floor. You can't be day trading from your desk. You gotta have some patience of how this thing works. I was in a long from 22nd of November. We just covered it last Thursday night. Okay, late night.
Right.
We covered it. We were there 4 weeks. That's what you do market timing.
Right.
And the buy and hope I'm talking about are something against that record of watching it over years and years and years at time and time saying, you know what, at this time I think I can do it myself. When they tell me that, that means they're getting comfy.
Yep.
When it's a comfy, it's a bend over routine. Oh, I said that live. I'm sorry.
Well, there you go. All right, Fred. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Have a happy new year, because we won't talk to you until the new year.
Happy new year to you, too.
All right, buddy. Take care. SP Futures up 6.50 now, and NASDAQ Futures up 17. Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain?
Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holland, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 5.25, and NASDAQ futures up 15.25. So we're kind of in rally mode again. Dow futures up 30. I suspect we'll probably hang here till the end of the year, really, and wise. 10-year bond, virtually unchanged, 1.90. The bund minus 0.24, where it's been for a few days, stuck right there. Japan just cannot make it above zero and stay there. It got above it twice. Went 0003. Man, it's like a little locomotive trying to pull the train over the hill. It gets to the top and can't quite get over the top. Just saying. There's some of that stuff going on here. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 142. That's 0.6%. Shanghai up 25.8%. Hang Seng down 42.1%, as they're still having, obviously, issues there with the riots and so forth this weekend, which I continue to get. Looks like they're thinning out, Maddie, and then all of a sudden they're right back rioting again. I don't know if that's going to have a good end over there. I hope it does. DAX down 17.1%. FTSE up 8. Call that flat. Kick around up 18 cents. Let's call that one flat for sure. We've got gold now up 679, 1511. Silver, 1806. That would, nicest buy of the last 2 weeks would have been to buy silver at 1768. Did anybody do that? Well, maybe some of the listeners did. I sure didn't. Oil, unchanged, 6111. So don't have to worry about the oil market. Brent, up 7 cents, 6727. Natural gas, 224, actually up 7 cents. So maybe we're thinking this cold, warm snap is going to end. RBOB gas, 173. And my 213 of a week ago Sunday is up back to, actually it was last Sunday. I think it's 260 when I went by there yesterday, so that was a quick 50 cents. Betty, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Light traffic all throughout the area with a lot of folks being off of work and kids being off of school. But we do have a crash on the inbound Kennedy at Costner Avenue that's blocking the left lane, so that's causing a bit of a slowdown if you're coming in on the Kennedy. Not affecting the outbound side. Edens looks good in both directions. No issues on the Eisenhower or Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford have been quiet all morning. Only other issue in the area is in the northwestern suburbs. US 20 out Route 31 out near northwest suburban Wayne. There is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's a record-breaking day for December 26th that was hit at midnight when we were 56 degrees at O'Hare, which broke the record of 55 degrees. Today will be mostly sunny with a high of 58, so we'll tack on a few more degrees to that record warm temperature for Chicago. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 53 going up to a partly cloudy high of 58. For our Phoenix listeners, showers in the forecast today and a high of 61. Right now it's partly cloudy and 44. In sports, no teams of interest here locally were in action yesterday for our Chicago and Phoenix audiences. Bulls and Blackhawks and Suns and Coyotes both return to action on Friday, but the bull season kicks off this afternoon. It will be, let's see here, on December 26th today, it will be Louisiana Tech versus Miami in the Independence Bowl. That's at 3 o'clock Chicago time. And then the nightcap today is Pitt versus Eastern Michigan at 7 o'clock at Ford Field in the Motor City Bowl. Chief.
Just so you know, Maddie, when you start talking about this, David, we have you?
I'm here.
Just as you know, a little bit of history, as people do this time of the year. Let's hope that Mr. Weber is never this lame of a weather forecaster. On Tuesday, January 24th, the high had been an unseasonably warm 65 degrees. The temperature started falling the next day. There was no warning to the public. There was no Matt Weber. The magnitude of what was what to happen beginning Thursday morning is the forecast on Wednesday mentioned a possible chance, 50% chance of a snowfall of 4 inches. Even as the day progressed, people were not fully aware the extent the snow would stop traveling within and from the area. As noted from the understated opening to the evening news on television station WMAQ, so 2 days later we had 24 inches of snow, 23, with winds with drifts about 6 feet. Just saying, Matty, it's not, these warm weather days are not always good this time of the year. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the blizzard of 1967, is that right?
20,000 cars and 1,100 buses stranded. People just walked home.
Yeah, most people probably don't remember. It came out right after a really unseasonably mild day.
Gusts of 48 to 53 miles an hour. They had thunderstorms one day and 23 inches of snow the next. A lot of water. Just saying. It was back when nobody had front-wheel drive. Nobody had four-wheel drive. Some people plunked the chains on. That's something I never actually had to do, and I'm glad that I didn't. But did you guys ever use chains in Iowa, or the time you were growing up, everybody had better tires and four-wheel drive, I assume?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I thought of putting chains on. Imagine putting chains on, like, an 18-wheeler, a big truck. How back-breaking a job that would have to be. Good Lord. David, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I never used chains. I was one of the first to get all-weather tires, and they seemed to work fine. But I do remember, I don't know about 18-wheelers, but I remember some 8- and 10-wheelers that had them.
Yeah. There's some snow passes out west that if you don't put the chains on, you don't go over.
Right.
Then, boy, on dry pavement, did they
beat it up pretty good.
Oh, God. But, you know, even the all-weather tires, remember we used to get snow tires every year. You had your snow tires.
Oh, yeah. You'd flip them on, you know, whenever, sign of the first snowfall.
But the all-weather tires pretty much are just okay in every weather, not any good in virtually any weather either. Not perfect, but just saying, you know. So, David, we have a year-end rally. We got a fire-up rally in gold. Silver had a huge move in the last 2 weeks. Copper's up a little bit, yet my copper stocks are going nowhere. My gold stocks are doing okay. What's holding back the copper guys? I mean, Freeport's up a dime, but it's, you know, the thing could be 15. It's not. It's
13. The underlying March contract future is like new highs since May. Don't know the answer. We talked about it a little bit last week. I don't delve into it. I mean, I know here or there John and Pete have talked about unusual options activity. I'm just guessing that it's, you know, management, execution, and pure guess, balance sheet, whatever.
Well, how much of it is somewhat psychological? I mean, we had, I talked to Maddie on the way in about some of the people he ran into this weekend that were switching funds into, you know, the ones that did well last year, and Kevin was talking about that a little bit, and Fari certainly the same way. I mean, how much of these stocks, these basic material stocks, like the Freeports, like the gold indexes, those kinds of things. I don't really know of too many silver stocks other than the SLV, which is actually silver.
Some others, Wheaton and the others.
Well, there are, yeah, I'm sure. But I'm saying they're so far off people's normal conversation that even if China started to do better and copper went to 320 or something, which I'm not predicting, but if it did, I mean, there's not going to be very many people claiming for these stocks. It's been a 10-year phenomenon. I mean, you don't want this stuff, right? I mean, it's hard to get back in the... I mean, even though a lot of the people on CNBC Friday that were doing their predictions of the year, on Tuesday, sorry, we're talking about getting back in the oil stocks, it's going to be a cold day in hell where most investors walk into PTI and say, buy me Schlumberger and Exxon. I mean, they've been the part that went over the fence last now for years.
Yeah, and the percentage of the S&P as a sector, I mean, it's almost a non-issue. And, I mean, that does not mean it can't come back. I have very limited exposure to any of the energy sector as far as full disclosure. But, you know, it's. I think at one point it was 18% of the S&P. Now it's like a touch over 4.
Yeah. I mean, but these things do end up coming back, but... They're definitely out of people's, you know, even mindset.
Well, I mean, and something like that, you know, they look at tech, and it's up 40. And, I mean, I do have big exposure to tech, although not in XLK or any of the ETFs. But, you know, whether it's machine learning or artificial intelligence or semiconductors literally talking to other semiconductors and inducing programming or whatever, I mean, it looks like that's totally the future, more and more and more and more, regardless what business or industry that you're in. And as far as energy, you know, I mean, Exxon advertises that, you know, they're raising algae to replace, you know, fossil fuels, and maybe they are, but as far as, you know, carbon-based fuels, I'm not saying it's a thing of the past, but down the road, the way things are going with electric vehicles and autonomous cars and, you know, clean energy and this and that and the other, again, I can't say it's 6 years, 8 years, 28 years, I don't know, but at some particular point, it will be a very minor part of the world's energy needs.
Well, but you do wonder, my buddy Shanny, Tom Shanny, he used to come on the show all the time, was talking about the natural gas. He thinks it's going lower. I mean, who knows if he's right or not, but he usually has at least a clue for what he says.
Oh, he's forgotten more about it than I know.
Well, and he was talking about how their natural gas, I mean, it's almost like in the way in some of these areas. And we've talked about the Permian Basin. We had somebody, I don't know if he was on the show, but I ran into him at the Buckingham Club in a long conversation with him about Shanny was in town. He had a couple of his buddies in, and they were guys that traded oil for some big concern down here. I don't know if it was Citadel or someplace. But they were talking about how the basis risk in the Permian Basin is dramatic. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Permian Basin is the one in West Texas, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong here, David.
Yes.
And not only do they have to pay royalties to the railroad that never existed, but that's another story. But there's no direct pipeline to either Oklahoma or to the Gulf. So if oil says it's $65 a barrel, or $60 a barrel, which it is now, they're probably getting, just off the top of my head, say 25, 30. They would say it's that bad.
Wow.
Because I think they have to truck it to a railhead, and then it goes by rail to New Orleans or to, well, if you're going to put it on rail, you might as well write to New Orleans and not go to or any place along the or Gulf that has a refinery. But you're probably not going to push it to Cushing and then put it in a pipeline. The point is, there's no real way to get it. It's like the soybeans in Minnesota.
Right.
You know, China doesn't want them. How the hell do you get them in New Orleans? So those guys, evidently, they have no capability of getting rid of the natural gas. So they're flaring the hell out of it down there. I mean, they're just burning it coming out of the... Because if you start putting natural... That's one of the problems with the stuff from the...
I mean, can't they... I mean, now that export rules have, you know, lightened up, can't they export it?
Well, you got to get it someplace. You're not going to export it from West Texas.
Why not?
Well, how do you
get... I mean, okay, so you take it across to East Texas.
How do you do that with no pipeline?
I don't know. Put it on a truck. Put it on
natural
a rail car.
Natural gas?
And, I mean, I don't know. I'm totally guessing.
Well, that's the point. If there is no technology, you have LNG, which is liquefied natural gas, is starting to make inroads. First, you needed a terminal to do that. Now, I think either now or very shortly, there's going to be ships that are able to liquefy and non-liquefy natural gas. So you can just, as long as they can tap into a gas pipeline, the ship will do the most. Now, I don't know if they're out there. We probably have somebody, listener. There's always somebody who listens who's an expert on this stuff. If you want to send me something and goes to the state of that industry, I know LNG is starting to run up a little bit. David, again, I don't know how far it's you know, I don't have
well,
anybody
technically,
in
technically, I mean, the natural gas, and this is a little bit different than LNG. I mean, it's trying to make a little double bottom
right
here, you know, with a target of 240, about 10% higher than where it is. 240, there's massive overhead resistance, four old cyclical lows. I would think it would be a huge struggle to get above that. If you do, you probably can go to 280 or even higher, but it looks like 10% maximum upside, and you know, who knows, maybe 20% you know, downside if you make a new low.
But when you're drilling for oil and gas, you get somewhat of a mixture. Now, if it's heavy oil, like the stuff they use in schools and they used to use on ships they can't use anymore, if it's heavy oil, you can put that in a railroad car, you can derail it. You can set a fire on top of it. You can't even burn the stuff.
Right.
Okay, but now when you have it, as it starts getting lighter and lighter in viscosity, this, that's why the stuff from the northern, from North Dakota, nobody wants the stuff coming by rail car through their town.
Right.
Because if that thing derails, it's very, it will burn and it'll catch fire immediately because there's a lot of, it's very light crude with a lot of natural gas in there. Well, evidently in the Permian Basin, there's no pipeline in Alaska. They've flared the stuff off in the North Slope for, what are we pushing, 45 years?
David? I thought they built one in that Prudhoe region.
They were going to build one. There was one they were going to do. And then the smart way to do it would be to go to Canada and hook into the Canadian pipeline, which actually comes to our Midwest. But, of course, the Alaskan governor didn't want to do that because he wanted the jobs. I think they are building one or maybe just finished one from the North Slope down to the Prudhoe Bay area. But now, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, what was the point of that? You didn't have any natural gas on ships. So what do you do with a whole bunch of natural gas in Prudhoe Bay? Nothing, right?
Right.
So if you can liquefy it, now all of a sudden you got a business. But I'm saying, you know, the Permian Basin, they not only have the basis problem with the oil, not even got a lot of natural gas they don't know what to do with. Now, clearly, you would think there would be a pipeline for both of these things to get them someplace where we can, I mean, I don't know if I'm a huge fan of natural gas, but I'd rather put it in somebody's home than I would just burn it into the air, right?
Yeah, and I mean, supposedly they got buses turning to it, you know, I mean, again, totally off the top of my head, anecdotal, no evidence, you know, but they tout that, and I mean, here or there, you know, especially West Coast, you do see a few buses and mass transportation running on that.
Well, there's no reason, for instance, that the, and maybe they are, like the people's gas vans shouldn't be gas.
Right.
Duh. I mean, and all your government vans in Washington or in Chicago, they don't go more than 50, 60 miles in a day.
Right.
Why shouldn't they be natural gas?
Right.
I mean, it's cheaper and it's cleaner.
Right.
I mean, it's that, cars are pretty clean with the catalytic converter and everything, so, like, you know, a modern car is pretty darn clean, but natural gas is even cleaner, and oh, by the way, it's cheaper.
Right.
You know, and if you're the gas company, you would think you have a little of it, right? There's a gas station right on, right by me, just south of, Diversey and Elston, there's a natural gas station. They run
and who goes in there to fill up?
There's very seldom anybody in there. Once in a while, I see a van in there.
Right.
But you can get, I should know this because I saw
it. I mean, supposedly there was a big move like 4 or 5 years
yeah.
ago that, you know, for $2,000 or something like that, $1,900, you could get some kind of kit or some kind of, you know, thing to convert your, you know, regular combustion engine into one that would, you know, operate on natural gas.
Well, the trick would be if you could have one that could work on either.
Right.
So if you bought yourself a new pick-me-up and you had a natural gas whatever delivery system, say, in your garage, which you could have, you could fill it up there. Or if you went on the road, you could just use gas. Matter of fact, you know what you're talking about? All the guys from, you can see, Ozinga did a bunch of them. The guys at Concrete, big concrete company here in Chicago. You see the red and white Ozinga truck go by, look below the cab, and a lot of them are natural gas.
Right, right. Again, yeah, you see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a few buses. I mean, not a lot. And, you know, I know a couple of years ago I visited Seattle, and there's quite a few.
Well, the issue is you can't basically buy one of them because you have to have a super-duper pipe coming from the gas company. Because if you're going to refill, say, 30 concrete trucks at night, you're not going to do it with your one-inch, your half-inch house feed, David. You need a serious infrastructure that because you got to pour gas into those things,
right?
I mean, and you have to compress it in there. I mean, you can't just put your feed from your house in there for an hour and expect the concrete truck to work all day. It's a big deal to get the infrastructure to fill up 40, 50 of these things overnight. So I mean, it's an investment, but once you do, natural gas is cheap,
right?
So anyway, I mean, there's a lot we could be doing and we're not, David, and that's what most people, even if you stop the big arguments like, you know, what about, you know, global warming and pointing fingers at each other, blah, 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 the simple fact is there's a lot of stuff that both sides would agree on, that you can do. I mean, I have, you know, a big gas hog truck, but if I lived in a suburb somewhere, or certainly in a rural area, and everybody's got three and four vehicles, why wouldn't one of them be electric, you know, with a windmill or something, that I can buzz around in town and back? That wouldn't be my vehicle of choice to drive to Vegas, not that I'm driving to Vegas, but why do I need to, I don't have to drive it to Vegas every day. I'm never going to Vegas with that car. So why wouldn't I have a little electric putt-putt car? I mean, it would cost me nothing to run. You know, if
no,
I have my
I
own
it.
Source. I mean, why wouldn't you?
So it shouldn't be the suburbs. I mean, gas is, if you're in Lake County, I mean, not that it's cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than, you know, cheaper there than in the city. I mean,
right.
I would think that, you know, being in the city, providing you didn't have, you know, huge miles to go each day, be more of an advantage in the city than in the suburbs.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you have three vehicles, hopefully they're not all exactly the same. Because,
right.
Right. I mean, there's one you're hauling stuff in, one you're hauling people, and one you're just putt-putting around in.
Right.
So, anyway. All right, David, we have you next week, so we don't need to do predictions today, but...
Show Monday?
What's I'm saying? We'll have you next week.
Oh, okay.
When is gold stop? What about silver? Is it too late to pile in? And when are we going to get a goose out of FCX? Never?
I can't talk about FCX, as I've commented. Don't own any, haven't owned any for probably 10 years, and just not my style. Gold, you know, the February big-time breakout around 1485, 1490, never really retested, so I would say if you go back and retest it, then that, you know, ought to be a good area of support, and looks like, you know, it may, in fact, go to about 1530. And as far as silver, you know, same kind of thing, right around 1735, 1740, big breakout for tests of around 1850. I mean, made a lot of it, hasn't retested. If it goes back, it should be pretty good support.
How can you...
That's the March future.
I remember when we used to, you know, back when we were on the old trading floor, we would trade some of these gold sites. It was always hard to figure out how much the stack. Now, Jan and Pete were talking a couple of weeks ago, you know, with the feed. A lot of people were buying GOLD, which is not the gold index. It's not gold. It's the old Barrick gold, right?
Right.
There was a lot of option buying on that, and that was 2-3 weeks ago. And it looked like those people were basically all idiots and didn't go anywhere for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking all those options they bought are probably profitable.
They merged, I can't remember with who, I think a South African-based company.
I think they did, too.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
And that's when they got the new acronym.
Right, but supposedly their cost out of the ground is cheapest of anybody. It's one that Cramer touts a lot. I don't own any shares. But, you know, trades expensive, I think. 41 times this year's earnings, forward P.E. of 35. You know, that to me is expensive. I would have to see at least a 10%, you know, sell off before I'd look to buy it.
Well, it's, I always had a problem with dealing with the individual companies. That's why I stick with the GDX. But you never actually know how much those guys have hedged themselves.
Right.
Because if gold goes from 1500 to 2500, which I'm surely not predicting, and you buy, you know, David's gold company, and it turns out David sold all his futures out at 1600, you're not going to get the benefit of the 1,000 points, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think they all do that, but you never really. I think somewhere in their statements, I don't know if they're from South Africa or not, don't they try and let you know how much they've hedged or what their percentage normally is? I think some
of
them do.
I don't know the answer to that.
I think some of them do, but like you said, there's been so many mergers and everything.
I would think that Bear, you know, would just because, you know, with the acquisition, with the merger, you know, they've become, you know, so huge in the industry, whatever. I don't know the answer to that.
Is the Japanese buying thing? Are they going to go above zero one of these days and stay there? I keep rooting for them, and yet they get there and they get whacked back like whack-a-mole.
they probably have to borrow money at negative interest rates to buy more stocks and more ETFs.
Well, the German is coming back to 24. They were 0.79.
Well, I mean, Europe seems like they're, you know, underlying GDP and whatever, their growth measurements are coming back. Japan, I don't see it yet.
All right. All right, Dave, we got a dash. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay.
S&P futures up 5, NASDAQ futures up 14. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.